Welcome to Career Buzz, Canada's unique radio conversation that empowers lives, enriches careers, and energizes organizations. Today on your show, an unconventional way to put your post-secondary education to work. It's a surprisingly satisfying career possibility, whether you're an intellectual, environmentalist, or interested gardener. The career? Farming 2.0. Hi, I'm Mark Franklin, practice leader of a team of career counselors at careercycles.com, a career management social enterprise. I'm pleased to be your host today on Career Buzz, and thanks for tuning in this morning. Supporting a new generation of ecological and entrepreneurial farmers is an organization called FarmStart, and we'll be joined by Executive Director Christy Young and Program Manager Sri Sethuratnam. They'll share insights about what it takes to start a farm, how to make this career and life choice less risky and more accessible, whether you're a recent grad or a new Canadian. Leslie Moskowitz went directly into an organic farming internship after graduating with a degree in environmental studies and anthropology. She's been farming ever since. Raised in the big city of Toronto, Leslie had never thought about a career in farming. Now, she loves her job managing a vegetable business and a community-supported agriculture program on her own farm, Cedar Down, along with her life partner. But first, Tara Young has been farming for a decade after graduating with a degree in environmental biology. She and her husband run Green Being Farm, where they raise and direct market pork, poultry, lamb, beef, and eggs. They also run a community-supported agriculture program supplying, as they say, members with storage crops and hardy greens, along with a healthy dose of food and farm education. Tara Young joins me by phone from her farm in Newstead, Ontario. Welcome to Career Buzz.
Thank you.
So, Tara, what do you like about your farming career these days?
It's cheesy, but I really love everything about my farming career. I don't know that this is something that sounds like a positive thing, but I think one of the things that I love the most about farming is that every day you're facing new challenges, new problems to solve. So it's the kind of career that really keeps you on your toes. And it's great for people who love problem solving and systems designing and things like that.
And what do you do? Like, what's a typical, well, I guess not a typical day because every season has something different. But I mentioned in the intro, there's this community-supported agriculture program. You direct more market meat products. What are all the things that you do on your farm?
Yeah, and I guess this is what makes our farm a little unique because a lot of farms are getting away from being so diversified. But because we do, like you said, pastured pork, pastured poultry, grass-fed beef, grass-fed lamb, and our winter CSA vegetable program, every day is very different. I think we start every day with chores where we take care of the animals, and at the end of the day we take care of the animals, and during the middle of the day we spend a lot of time in the garden or working on fixing up certain parts of the grazing systems that we've got going, that kind of thing.
You mentioned a moment ago it's a great career for people who like to solve problems. What are the strengths, the kind of skills and strengths that people might have? What are those strengths for you that make this career work for you?
I think that if you want to run a diversified operation, part of what you need to be able to do is juggle, keep a lot of balls in the air, do a lot of multitasking. So, remembering that you need to check on the pigs, make sure the irrigation is off, open the doors to the greenhouse, harvest the onions that are ready that day, call back, the six customers who've emailed you. There's a lot of that going on. Speaking of customers, I think that the other part of farming that not everybody thinks about is that if you're going to do direct marketing, you need to have a bit of an entrepreneurial nature as well and be comfortable with the idea of, not just farming, but running your own business.
Yes.
Sticking your neck out there, connecting with customers, and be able to convey the passion that you have about what you produce with the rest of the world.
Right on. We're talking to Tara Young here. She runs Green Being Farm in Newstead, Ontario. Here on Career Buzz, I'm your host, Mark Franklin, on CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto and CIUT.FM worldwide. So, Tara, you completed a university degree, and farming is not a typical choice for people who are university graduates. What led you to farming, or what led you at least to explore it in the first place?
I think that what led me there was a real desire to do something in my career for the environment. So I went to the University of Guelph for environmental biology, and farming was nowhere on my radar at all. I didn't really know what career I would end up having, but I really wanted it to do, you know, I really wanted to save the world. And I got near the end of my university career and had still not really found that thing. But I took a course in organic agriculture, kind of on a whim, and it was literally instant one day. One day, all the balls everything kind of fell in place, and I realized that farming, can be a really powerful way to have a very positive impact on the environment.
It's amazing. I mean, we hear a lot of stories on Career Buzz that this one course or that one professor, you know, you just totally don't think about it, and suddenly this little moment happens and you think, oh, I could do this. So it sounds like that was a bit of your situation when you took this organic agriculture course. How was it for you when that light bulb moment went off? I mean, you know, some people say, oh, I know, I'll get a job with the government, or I'll become a management consultant. But this is not just a kind of a job. It's a whole way of life. When the light bulb moment came on, how much of the reality did you actually absorb and understand when you said, maybe farming is it for me?
Probably very little, because I had really no idea what that meant. I mean, I'd really spent very little time on a farm. I'm from Kitchener. I'm from the suburbs. I think I was probably drawn to it from more of a conceptual angle, and I think most people who are new to agriculture, that is, they get drawn in that way. And so I knew I needed to get my hands dirty. That would definitely be the next thing to do. So I went on from university to basically learn to farm, get my hands dirty, go get some hands-on experience. But I think the thing that was the real clincher that day in class is, you know, one thing that would happen in that organic agriculture class is our professor, Dr. Ann Clark, she would bring in farmers that weren't your typical farmers, and I started to realize that some of these people, men and women, which was important for me, were making a career out of agriculture, but they were like me, they'd come from the city. And up until that point, it had never occurred to me that you could choose a career in farming.
Yes.
I assumed you had to be born into it. And I think, you know, most people have that assumption. But it's not true. It is a career choice like anything else.
It's fascinating. And I want to ask you more about that. And we're going to speak to the people at FarmStar later in the show. And I know they've been really thinking about how to build this connection between people who might be interested in farming and all the potential farms that need to pass into the hands of somebody. Mm-hmm. But for you, you needed to get your hands dirty. So that's the first thing. You said, gee, this is an interesting idea, but let me learn how to do that. How did you go about learning?
So I got a position as a farm intern. The farm that I worked at was called Everdale, and it was maybe a half hour outside of Guelph. And there are a number of farms, more and more every year, that offer farm internships. And it's a way to learn by doing. You don't earn much money, if any, but in essence, you're going to school, and you don't have to pay for it, which is wonderful. You're learning at an incredible rate, and you're learning by doing, which to me, that's the kind of education that really sticks for me. And so I did that for a couple of years, and then managed to get some kind of assistant farm manager positions. And this went on for about 6 years until I decided that I was ready to start my own farm business.
Wow, so 6 years, and when you say farm manager, what does that mean? That you were working for other farmers or other landowners?
Yeah, that's right. So, for example, I worked on a farm in the Yukon, a husband and wife, and they had 200 acres. They raised beef and vegetables, and they needed somebody else on board to kind of, you know, run the day-to-day ins and outs of running the farm.
How's the money as a farm manager in the Yukon?
truth be told, it was probably better than what the farmers were making.
Yeah?
Yeah. So one thing I'll say to people is if you think you really love to farm, you're not sure you want to run your own business, there aren't, you know, it is possible to get a farm management position. which is kind of great because then you just get to farm all the time. And you don't have to worry about, you know, the marketing, the accounting, the, you know, all of the other parts that come with running
yes.
a business. Yeah.
So after this is 2 years at Everdale and then 6 years being a farm manager, and then comes this idea, well, gee, maybe I'll get my own farm. So what's the process of doing that? How did you figure that out? How did you find the farm? And most importantly, there's a lot of money involved. How did you finance it?
Yeah, well, I guess at first, my husband, who's you know, came into the picture quite early on the scene when I was learning how to farm too. We knew we were ready to do our own thing. And it took a little bit of exploration just to be sure we wanted to buy a farm, because it is a monumental achievement in this day and age to come up with that kind of money. So we looked at other jobs, managing jobs, you know, starting an agricultural not-for-profit, all of these things. And then the real clincher for me was that a farmer mentor of mine said, you know, they're not making any more farms. You know, now will always be the right time to buy a farm because, you know, there's just no more land. And so prices will always be on the increase for the most part. And so the sooner the better. And I think I realized that a big part for me of what drew me to farming was also the, you know, the more romantic side of things. I really wanted to wake up every day on my own piece of land and build a legacy so that, you know, decades down the road, I can see the trees that I planted last year and you know, see them bear fruit. And that meant a lot to me. And so that we knew then that we really wanted to buy our own piece of land. Part of that, though, meant that I actually had to stop farming for a couple years in order to, you know, get enough money together to put down a down payment.
Yes.
And that was a tricky decision to make because, you know, I could see how you could easily fall through the cracks, stick with your day job kind of thing and not go back to farming.
What did you do for that day job?
Well, I actually got a fabulous job working for an environmental not-for-profit called EcoSource, and I was working at getting local food into schools in Peel Region, and so it was a great fit. And I got to organize farm tours for students and all that kind of stuff. And one thing that really made it really work was actually Farm Start. So my husband Nathan and I, we rented land through Farm Start's Incubator Farms program, and we were able to start our farm business, you know, while both working full-time jobs. And so in our first year of running our own business, we were raising pigs and turkeys and chickens on rented land, going off to our day jobs and then coming home. And,
wow, that's a busy day.
Yeah, and then on the weekends, you know, doing our farm shopping.
And then when you finally found the piece of land, like, you know, listeners might be really interested in this. How much does a farm cost? You know, how many acres did you get? How much does it cost? And then what was that down payment?
Yeah, so this was a few years ago, so these numbers have really risen. But we were able to buy a 50-acre property for $342,000. And that has gone up a lot. One thing that I should point out is that, you know, a farm double the acreage is not double the price.
Yes.
Because there's still that one house. So it's possible to spend only marginally more and get double the land.
Interesting. I mean, that figure that you just named, and I get that it's a few years old. I mean, for listeners in the greater Toronto area, that's way less than an average house price in the city.
Absolutely. And we're in one of the parts of Ontario where farmland is still a bit cheaper. We're in Grey County. You know, the closer you get to the GTA, that the higher you're going to be looking at million-dollar farms.
Yeah.
So I think some people are quite afraid of that move away from the city to the country, and we were afraid too because, you know, we're from urban backgrounds. But wow, it's been amazing. We've never missed a day.
Wow. We're talking to Tara Young here. She runs Green Being Farm in Newstadt, Ontario. Here on Career Buzz, I'm your host, Mark Franklin, on CIUT 89.5 FM in the Greater Toronto area and worldwide online at CIUT.fm. So, Tara, it was interesting to hear the transition into it, and it sounds like you weren't working full-time on the farm even when you started it. How was it owning your own farm? For the first year or two, did it go well? Was there catastrophes? Did it go super smoothly? How did that go?
There are always catastrophes, but I would say all in all it went well. We did take it very slowly. I think that in agriculture the tendency is to borrow a lot of money, And that was scary to me. Having worked on farms that were deep in debt and having trouble digging themselves out, Nathan and I were pretty committed to staying out of debt. And so we've had to grow the farm very slowly. It was working and building infrastructure. And probably the hardest part was knowing that, you know, after 6 years of working on other farms, we were ready to do a lot more than we were financially capable of doing.
Yes.
This is our first mortgage. That, you know, being that indebted is scary. And so we've proceeded as carefully as we could.
And how's it been going financially? So you're having to pay back the mortgage on whatever you borrowed against the farm. How's the money in farming with your ability to both pay off your debt and to keep yourselves viable?
I think it's certainly tight. We're 5 years into, you know, our birth of our business. Those are tough 5 years for any business. Our goal was to be able to pay the mortgage solely with farm income within the first 5 years. And 3 years in, we've been able to accomplish that. So we're really proud of that. That said, there is no disposable income. I mean, every cent is sacred at this point. And trying to grow the farm is tricky, because where do you continue to get that capital? It's very risky, and I think that's why not a lot of people get into it. We are at a disadvantage as first-generation farmers, because we didn't get to inherit the farm. There's no machinery passed down. There's no family legacy that we can carry on. So to attempt what certain farms have done over many generations, to do that in one lifetime is asking a lot.
It's amazing. It's amazing to think about it, because that's, I think, what most people think about is the farm that got passed down from parents to children.
Yeah, and certainly, I'm sure FarmStart will touch on this too. It's not easy. I think that some people will need to make sure to think outside of, you know, what can you do other than purchasing a farm? You know, we were super lucky. My mom was able to loan us some money for the down payment. One thing that a lot of people don't understand is that with farms, the down payment is high. It's usually about 25%.
Yeah, then, well, you know, some people do that for houses too. I think you can get a house with a lot less than 25%. So you had to put up 25% of that $342,000.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
So that's a good chunk of money.
Mm-hmm.
So just for people listening now and making the connection between the food and especially the meat that we eat and the animals they came from, I was pretty interested to see on your website that you talk about the Berkshire pigs, for example, and how you treat them on the farm and how that treatment makes their meat extra tasty. Now, you know, most people think that meat actually comes from the grocery store and not from a farm. So are people ready for this kind of information? Are they ready to make that connection between the animals that they're being raised and then the meat that they eat?
I think some people are, certainly. The customers I love the most are the ones that want to come to the farm and meet the pigs before they make a commitment or see how their vegetables are grown or whatever. Not everybody's there yet, but I think we need to get there. I think that there's a lot of issues facing farmers that face, you know, they're issues that affect everybody, but farmers are kind of taking them on alone because customers have gotten so far removed from their food system.
Yes.
And one of the things we really aim to do is bring people closer to their food system. So I remember one year writing a lengthy article in our newsletter about the situation that we're facing with respect to finding good abattoirs, because they're all closing down. And this is an issue that clearly affects everybody who eats meat, but it's not something that most people are aware of.
Yeah, it's really quite interesting, this connection that you're making, and also that what you call community-supported agriculture program. And you guys are doing that as well as Leslie, who we're going to speak to in a few minutes. How's that going?
That's wonderful. I think the community-supported agriculture program is one of those ways that we can really build closer ties with the people eating our food. So basically the way it works is members sign up at the beginning of the season. They pay a membership fee, which covers the cost of the vegetables that they'll receive throughout the season. And so they come every week to pick up their vegetables, but they also get to chat with their farmer. We give them a newsletter every week with what's going on the farm or issues that we're struggling with. And you know, it's not uncommon for us to get emails or voicemails, you know, from people just saying how much they appreciate the food.
Yes.
And that, you know, their children are growing up knowing who their farmer is, which is something that's become very foreign to us.
Yes. It's brilliant. It just sounds great. I really love it. What's in the box? If I were part of your CSA program, what would I be getting this time of year?
Right. Well, I should say our CSA is a winter CSA, so we don't actually start until the beginning of November. But at that time, you'll be getting things like leeks, carrots, potatoes, onions, garlic, kale, squash, you know, all those great winter vegetables. And we also have three greenhouses, and we grow things like spinach and salad greens all winter long for our members as well.
Wow, you guys sound busy. Finally, Tara, now that you've gone through all of this in your own life with you and your partner, what can you share with listeners about what you've personally learned about making good career and life choices?
Well, I would say that I often get asked what's the most important skill with respect to farming. And this is probably the most important thing to think about with any career choice. But I think there's a lot to be said for the ability to make good decisions. And this comes up many, many times a day as a farmer. And as you're building any business, that ability, how do you make good decisions? It's not like you can take a course on that. Well, actually, you can. But I think people become good decision makers when they have a very clear sense of their goals.
Yes.
And know what they want and how they're going to get there. And when you can keep your ultimate goals in life, you know, front of mind, that's going to be what you need to make good decisions.
That's great advice, Tara. If people want to find out more about your farm, how do they do that online?
Best way is to go to our website, which is greenbeing, which is B-E-I-N-G, greenbeingfarm.ca.
And we'll have that link on our Career Buzz page on careercycles.com. Tara Young, thanks so much for joining us here on Career Buzz and telling listeners about your fascinating career story.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you. We've been talking to Tara Young of Green Being Farm here on Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin. You can hear Career Buzz every Wednesday at 11 a.m. here on 89.5 FM or CIUT.FM. We're going to take a quick music break and come right back with our next farmer, Leslie Moskowitz. It's Mark Franklin, your host here, 89.5 FM, CIUT.FM. We're picking up on our story of unconventional ways to put your post-secondary education to work, and we're looking at Farming 2.0. Leslie Moskowitz went directly into an organic farming internship after graduating with a degree in environmental studies and anthropology, and she's been farming ever since. Raised in the big city of Toronto, Leslie had never thought about a career in farming, but now she loves her job managing a vegetable business and a community-supported agriculture program on her own farm, Cedar Down, along with her partner. Leslie Moskowitz joins us live by phone. Leslie, welcome to Career Buzz.
Hi, thanks.
So we've just heard from Tara, and I know you and Tara know each other. In fact, I think your farms are nearby each other. Is that right?
Yeah, just down the road. Same road.
That's great. So what do you like about your farming career?
Oh, so many things. I think what I like about farming, like, you can kind of separate them into many layers. There's the kind of very tactile day-to-day experience of loving to be outside. I love that I get to work with living things and natural systems. I love just the very nature of it, and I think that's something that I was looking for in my career, just being outside and getting to experience life that way. And then that leads into the fact that I love to produce food for the community. It's incredibly satisfying, and it's very immediate satisfaction. You see the people who are eating your food, and you know it's good, and you know you've done good, and that's very satisfying. And then I think on top of that is that it's like an amazingly creative job. You get to, you're constantly thinking, you're constantly problem solving, and new challenges arise, and so you're, it's like a big kind of huge palette, the farm is, and you're the artist, and you're deciding sort of, that is within you know, sort of the natural system that you work in. You get to make all these incredible decisions on how it's going to go, and it's very empowering. So
wow, you're really saying some amazing things, and it's so interesting to hear you say creative and artist. It is not something that many people would equate with farming.
No,
we asked Tara about some of the skills and strengths she draws on. She named problem solving and making good decisions.
Yeah,
you've now added creativity. What else do you draw on to be a successful farmer? What other skills do you draw on?
It's hard to sum up, I think. I think farmers have an enormous range of skills that they draw on, and that may be something that people don't know about farming. And certainly on our farm, I think that's the case, is being able to do a lot of things and to switch from thing to thing. So in particular on our farm, you know, we do all the growing and the planning, and we also do all the administrating and all the delivery and all the customer service. So being able to kind of, wear many hats, and but also keep in mind that you have to wear those hats well, is incredibly important. And being able to kind of, you know, maintain a sense of calm amidst, you know, a fairly stressful and fast-paced career, I think is really important.
It's amazing how you're talking about it. Fast paced, you know, is not something that people think about farming. And customer service is another thing that you said that many people wouldn't think of. But sure enough, as a kind of enterprising farmer these days, that's exactly what you're doing.
Oh yeah.
So again, this is not a typical career choice for somebody who grows up in the big city, who does a university degree. What led, in your story, what led to the idea of farming in the first place?
Well, the idea, I don't think, came entirely from me. I think, like I mentioned before, I went through environmental studies and anthropology, but I certainly was not cut out for an office job of any type, and it was difficult for me as a university student and in general to think of what career would be suitable for me. And I don't think that university was really leading me to a decision very easily. I couldn't see a clear path. I knew I wanted to this sort of outdoor and more autonomy in what I did. And I think, like other people who have kind of a romantic vision of what a farm is, I said to a coworker at a job I had that I just wanted to have a farm, which I think at the time was a somewhat flippant remark, but she told me about Everdale, where I also did an internship, and how they had these internship programs, and you could learn to organic farm. And I had no idea that that was, you know, when I think and I said that about just wanting to farm, there's no way I thought that I could actually do that. I don't at all come from a farming family, but I did it, and I loved it, and it really filled a lot of my needs for a career and a life.
It's amazing to hear the genesis of this idea. So can you just take us into that job? You were working in some job when all of a sudden something was happening, you weren't liking it. Oh, I just want to have my own farm. What was that job, and what was the sort of situation that led up to the moment where you just made that remark?
Well, the job was at an organization called IMPACT, so the Institute for Media, Policy, and Civil Society, and I had an administrative assistant, a part-time admin assistant position, And it was a great organization, and I actually really liked working there, but it was a total office job, and I spent all my day in front of the computer. I was also going to university, and there was lots of things that I liked about both of those things, university and job, but definitely not for me on a long-term basis. And I think my sort of perhaps like flippant remark was just about how I would love to be able to, you know, do something that I felt was important while enjoying my days. And to me, that meant being outside and working in a natural environment and also having a lot of autonomy and kind of being my own boss, I guess. And those things are true about farming. So it worked out. Those thoughts are what led me to say that, and those thoughts are what led me to try the internship. And that's what ultimately made farming a good choice for me.
It's an interesting story. There's a lesson, I think, there of, you know, no matter how crazy your ideas sound, you know, it's worth verbalizing them to your friends and coworkers, because
for
you never know how somebody is going to pick up your statement and come back at you with something that you just can't anticipate.
Absolutely.
It's a great story. You, that friend of yours, are you still in touch with her or him, the person who said that?
No, I don't think she knows what her, you know, her helpful remark, her, you know, information did for my life, but it was a big thing for
maybe,
sure.
Maybe she deserves a call, or maybe she's listening to the show right now.
Yeah, for sure.
We're gonna take a quick break here. I'm talking to Leslie Moskowitz about her farm, Cedar Down, here on Career Buzz, CIUT 89.5 FM. We'll be right back with our interview.
Donate to CIUT 89.5 FM to support community radio and independent media. Join before October 15th and you'll be entered into our amazing grand prize draws. You could win a Sony Center for the Performing Arts prize pack valued at over $1,200 and a pair of tickets to see Gordon Lightfoot. For more information and to donate, visit www.ciut.fm. CIUT 89.5 FM is your voice, your sound, your radio.
From the roots up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto, presenting the history and evolution of sound for 25 years and counting. CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
And we're back at Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, practice leader of a team of professional career counselors at CareerCycles.com, a career management social enterprise. We're talking today on Career Buzz about an unconventional way to put your post-secondary education to work. And it is a surprisingly satisfying career possibility, as we're hearing from our two guests, whether you're an environmentalist, intellectual, or an interested gardener, and the career is farming. So, Leslie Moskowitz, continuing with the story that you were telling us, you first got the idea by just blurting out, maybe I should have my own farm. Somebody told you about something called Everdale. What happened? What was the transition for you from that office job that you weren't liking to getting your hands dirty?
Yeah, well, I don't think it was long after that remark was made that I finished my degree at university, and I went straight to Everdale. So that was in April, I guess, of 2004. And did a six-month organic farming apprenticeship there. So that meant working on their organic farm and, you know, doing all the things it takes to grow vegetables. And they also had some animals. So it was a six-day-a-week internship from April to, I guess, November. And I just totally loved it. I loved the work, and I loved everything about it, and I just didn't do anything. I haven't done any, well, I've done some things, but I've farmed ever since.
And so after the internship, where you, you know, it's a great story where you actually get to try something out and then you see if you like it or not. And
yeah,
what a great way to check out careers. And you loved it. So with that clue in mind that you loved it and the internship went well, what next?
Well, I think I knew right away that I wanted to do this for a career, and it was very clear that I needed to learn more. You know, I don't come at all from a farming family, and so this was the first experience with agriculture I ever had, and it was quite clear that there's an incredible amount of knowledge to be gained, probably, you know, more than a lifetime's worth, but at least enough that I knew that I needed to get more. So I actually went to another farm that also offered internships, and I did sort of a senior apprenticeship. And I also, with my partner Jeff and a friend, incubated our own farm business on another farm. So that meant we started a CSA, which is the Community Supported Agriculture, like Tara was talking about.
Yes.
We started a CSA program at that farm. So that was a working farm already, but they didn't have a CSA. And they allowed us to start up that CSA business in partnership with the farmers. This is at Whole Circle Farm, which is in Acton, and they still run a CSA there. So we started that in conjunction with Johan and Maggie Kleinsasser, who are the farmers there, and they were our incredible mentors, and also allowed us to totally try our hand at running our own business, but, you know, basically risk-free. So we didn't have to buy a farm. We didn't really buy much, if any, equipment. We rented everything. We ended up renting at the third year. We ran it as our own business separate from Maggie and Johan, and didn't have to invest in anything other than renting from them what it took to run this business. And that was a totally invaluable experience in learning how to do this.
Great. So that's a kind of less financially risky way to really get started.
Yeah.
And then you could actually see what it was like, and you had the CSA running. And
yeah.
So what happened then? How did it transfer from that kind of renting and trying it out experience to then owning your own farm?
Well, I think, you know, the experience of farming and having a few years under your belt really gives you a leg up for, you know, being successful. And we knew, my partner Jeff and I were working together, and we knew that we wanted our own farm, that we loved the lifestyle and we loved the work, and we really wanted a place of our own. And of course, that requires huge financial investment, like Tara was saying, and we also are extremely lucky that my parents could help us to do that. But first, before we did that, we did some traveling, and we worked on farms in the U.S., and we were in Europe a little bit, and we also worked in Ontario doing in jobs. Like, I worked on another vegetable farm, and Jeff actually worked for FarmStart at their incubator farm for a summer. So we got more experience, and then, okay, we're going to do it. And my parents helped us, and we started looking for farms, and we found a farm of our own in 2009 and started up a CSA. So we bought the farm in November, and we had a CSA that coming summer. So we're at our third year now at our own place.
And how's that been going? How's the, you know, financially, we were hearing from Tara, you put that investment in, it's a big investment, and then you have to start paying that off and feeding
yeah.
yourself and making life work. How did it work for you?
It's working incredibly well, actually. We both, so we had that down payment help from our parents, but we immediately needed to start paying the mortgage ourselves. Neither of us, we took a bit of off-farm work in our first winter, but since last winter we have been paying the mortgage entirely from the farm business, and we're in it, you know, same as well as Tara, same thing, like we don't have an enormous excess of money.
Yes.
But we're comfortable, and it's paying its way, and it's very successful, and we have a huge waiting list of people trying to get into our CSA. So
oh, that's
great. Good too. Yeah.
And you mentioned your parents, and you know, you've said that you come from the big city, and nobody in your family had ever thought of farming. What were the reactions from parents and friends? You know, like, this is simply not something that one hears about that often, but it sounds like it's a bit of a growing trend. What reactions did you get from people?
Well, I should say first off that my parents are amazing, and they've always supported me in whatever I wanted to do. I think as long as I'm happy, they're happy, and they've trusted that I can take care of myself. So they always enjoyed the lifestyle. You know, when they come to visit, they love the farm, and so they've been nothing but supportive. And other people, yeah, I think initially I got a bit of weird responses. And, you know, it's funny because I got some super negative responses, but coming from people who I went to, you know, were in my university program, and they thought, ugh, that's ridiculous. Like, stop doing that, you know, get back to the real world, you know. But not from the people who it mattered.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Eh? Like, some people just have, I guess, preconceptions about some career choices.
Yeah. And I think, well, I went back to my university department in environmental studies, and that was the reaction I got there. And I'm sure it's changed somewhat, because I think farming and organic farming has a bit of a bigger profile now.
Yes,
but
yes.
At the time, it was definitely kind of like, what am I doing? You know, it's kind of a lark or something. but my family and friends have always been very supportive.
That's great.
Yeah.
We've got Christy and Shree from FarmStart, and I wanna move to them in a moment.
Sure.
And hear their story, because their story seems to link in with both yours and Tara's as a transition and, mm-hmm. and a great help for people interested.
Mm-hmm.
But before I let you go, what kind of advice or lessons learned can you share with listeners about your personal journey making this this very interesting and different career and life choice?
Well, I think it's kind of like you were saying before, is that, you know, I definitely did not have an idea of what I wanted to do as a career before I started farming. But what drove me towards it was not wanting to compromise on what made me happy. And so if you have the means to follow, you know, the impulse of what you know about yourself, then I think then that may lead you towards a satisfying career. If you have the ability, you know, financial means and freedom to do so, you know, you don't necessarily need to know your exact goal, but maybe pay attention to, you know, the things that you know about yourself, what you like, what you don't like, and try and eke out something from that, and that might, you may not have the exact notion, but maybe you'll get there just from, you know, holding fast to, you know, trying to be satisfied with life and your principles and all the things that make you you.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. You know, it's not saying you should do this or that, but it is saying be true to yourself and be clear about what you like and don't like.
Yeah, if you can.
Great advice. Leslie Moskowitz, thanks for joining us here on Career Buzz. If people want to find out more about you and your farm, how do they do that?
Yeah, we also have a website. It's www.cedardownfarm.ca.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us here and sharing your story on Career Buzz.
Yeah, thank you, Mark.
So we've been talking to Leslie Moskowitz, and before that, Tara Young, about their farming career and getting started in the world of enterprising and entrepreneurial farming. We're going to talk to the FarmStart people that both Leslie and Tara mentioned a moment ago, and while we get them on the line, I just want to remind listeners that they can listen to the archive of Career Buzz stories. So if you find this interesting or other stories, do click on the Career Buzz button at careercycles.com. You can hear the past shows. Recently, we ran two parts of interviews, short interviews with leaders in the from the Canadian Positive Psychology Association. The conference was in July, and we ran the shows on August 15th and September 12th. One of the really interesting interviews was with Bob Vallerand, and you can hear his interview on August 15th. One of the things he talked about is how interests turn into passions. You know, so many people say, well, you got to be passionate about your career. And, you know, that's such a high bar, I think, for many people to reach. What am I passionate about anyways? And Bob said something fascinating about that I'd never heard put this way. And he talked about interests. And he said, you know, people get interested in something and they feel like, yeah, I'm kind of interested in that. And slowly, 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 they start to say, they start to identify with it. So, for instance, I'm interested in the stars and constellations and astronomy, and I'm just interested in that. But slowly, slowly, I might start calling myself, I might say, I'm an amateur astronomer, or I'm a gardener. And as soon as you start to say, I am a, you move your interest into this identity. You start to identify with it. And that's when the passion starts to rise. And as that happens, it's just a great birthplace of career ideas. So I encourage you to listen to Bob Vallerand's interview. It's the beginning of the August 15th show. Click Career Buzz at careercycles.com. So I want to shift over to the Farm Start people. They're going to help us understand what does it actually take to start a farm and how can you make this career and life choice less risky and more accessible, whether you're a recent grad or a new Canadian. So supporting a new generation of entrepreneurial and ecological farmers is Farm Start, and we're joined by Executive Director Christy Young and Program Manager Sri Sethuratnam. Christy and Sri, welcome to Career Buzz.
Hi,
guys. So, and I think you're on speakerphone, so if you could just speak up as you're responding. Christy, tell us a little bit about Farm Start. What does Farm Start do?
Farm Start really provides support for folks who want to become farmers, starting from the dreaming stage. So people will come to us if they're just thinking about a career in farming and they want to know a little bit more about it and they want some help to decide if it's the right career path for them. And then generally, if they've decided that there's something in it that they want to explore, they will get into it in a variety of ways. And Tara and Leslie described some of the ways they started into farming. We then provide opportunities for people who are planning more seriously. We provide access to resources, to mentors. We run farm tours. We run courses and workshops. We really try to connect planners, well, all farmers with farmers. That's really the best way that we find farmers can learn, is to see all sorts of different farms in action, to learn from people who are doing it. And then also to do it themselves. A lot of farmers tend to be learning by doing types.
Yes.
So we also then offer incubator farms, or startup farms as we call them, which are places for people to get their farm businesses off the ground, to give it a try before they have to take on all the risk of buying a farm, picking out the right equipment, uprooting their whole family to a new place. We give them a little bit of land. We give them infrastructure, access to some equipment. There's a farm manager who can provide some troubleshooting and support, and we connect them with mentors, and there's a peer group of farmers on these farms, too, that is also really important for people starting out.
Wow, so it's a little bit of a try before you buy situation.
Yes.
for people like Tara and Leslie. And personally, Christy, what makes this work that you're doing at Farm Start a good career for you?
Well, food brings together everything that I have ever cared about, from the environment and the earth that we live on to our bodies and our health. And as a mother and a member of world, I think we have to figure out how to feed ourselves better than we do right now, both in terms of how we treat the land that we take the food from and how we treat the people who grow the food for us, and also how we nourish our own bodies. I want to bring my children up and see in the future a food system where people, all people, can have access to good, healthy food, and it's sustainably produced. It's not this kind of frontier mentality that we have in agriculture where you kind of use your land and move on, or we'll kind of have this unending supply of fossil fuels to feed our crazy agricultural system. And I just don't think it's possible, and I'd rather, instead of seeing our food system fall apart when oil prices continue to rise, our borders close and food scares continue to increase, I'd rather see a food system that's resilient and healthy for all of us.
Right on. And Sri Sethuratnam, what about you as program manager? What do you do there at Farm Start?
I manage the startup farm program, so I don't do the day-to-day management, but the overall structure of it, the processes, you know, talking to the farmers or the possible applicants, and also looking at replicating the concept. From one, now we've grown to two, and you know, we're interacting with other partners across the province and maybe across the country to start in other places too.
And for you personally, what makes working at Farm Start a good career for you?
This is my life, so there's no difference between career and life for me. It's all the same. And I've been connected to farming from when I was born, so till I landed up in Canada and realized I couldn't get into farming at all. And then I ended up at Farm Start.
There are so many newcomers to Canada, and you know, every year there's 250,000 newcomers who come to Canada. Many of them will have done some farming in their home countries, and it sounds like that you have some experience in your own personal life. What was that like for you to come to Canada and you know, and have the experiences that you had in your home country, and then arrive here and try and figure out how to make it work for you?
Initially, it was a rude shock. because when I applied for immigration, I had an agriculture engineering degree, and it was on the points. It was one of the highest. It was equal to aerospace engineering. But once you land on the shores, you realize that all that doesn't really mean anything, because nobody among the settlement sector knows any pathway to send you to, you know, a farming job or whatever it is, or, you know, even if you wanted to farm on your own. But I should say I just followed my heart and ended up at FarmStart.
Well, I want to talk to you a little bit more in a few minutes about, especially about newcomers and how they connect to careers in farming. But Christy, let's see if I can get some of the big picture from you about the family farm. And we hear so much about the loss of the family farm. You know, what is happening out there? What is happening with family farms? Are there successors for those family farms? What's going to happen, and what are those trends in Canada?
Well, I think what's happening in Canada is actually happening around the world, although it's different in less developed countries. There's a huge transition off the farm, and we see less and less young people from farm backgrounds deciding to stay on the farm. We see consolidation of farm operations. We see corporate ownership of farm operations. Right now, we are in that succession. So it's kind of like the mountain is slowly falling away, and we can't really see it. But every day, farms are being sold, and they're being sold from farm families to generally either consolidating farmers or non-farming landowners. And in at least the numbers, they tell us that about 75% of the farmers who are retiring in the next 10 years don't have named successors. That means 75% of the farms will be transferred, and we're not sure who they're going to be transferred to. It's a transition we've never seen before, and it's something that we're totally unprepared for. We have kind of two streams happening in agriculture, and one is continuing that kind of get big or get out, and let's rely on technology and non-renewable resources to fix our problems, and we'll come up with a new seed that will be the panacea of all of the challenges that we face, and it'll be all fine, and we'll continue to have less and less people growing more and more food for a growing population. And I personally think that's a little bit ridiculous, and I don't really understand why we think as a world that we should have more and more people and less farmers, and why can't we have more farmers farming if we have all these people that are going to be sitting around in poverty and destitution, and we've got this global agricultural machine that has to be producing all this food for these people, both here in Canada and in other places. I don't really understand why we're not talking about having more people growing more food for more people.
Well, here we are talking about it. You said there are two streams. I guess the one is to get bigger, get out. And is the other stream people like Tara and Leslie? And is that the other trend that's going on here?
Yeah, and for a long time we've seen the small niche market, diversified organic small farms, and there's a generation of pioneering organic farmers in North America that have really taught a lot to what is now we consider a new generation. I think what's happening now is that there's a new generation of entrepreneurial people who aren't looking to do it kind of as martyrs. They want to get into the business to prove that, A, we can grow differently. We can have diversified, resilient farm businesses that are actually really good businesses, that your net profit at the end of the day is a good thing. It's not that you're going to give up making no money. You're never going to make what you could make on Bay Street, but you're going to make enough money to support a livelihood that is so fulfilling and meaningful.
Yes.
And I think that's what's bringing more and more people into the sector. And we're seeing business models that actually work. You don't need to have huge gross revenues if you balance your cost of production with what you're getting, either at the farmer's market or directly to consumers or through wholesalers.
Yes, absolutely. And we heard from two farmers who were thrilled in having meaningful careers in farming in that trend.
Mm-hmm.
And Sri, from your side working, especially with new Canadians, can you give us an example of how you've been helping new Canadians reconnect with farming?
The new Canadian work was part of it's part of our new farmer focus. But because of the farm facility we have at Brampton, it really opened up the doors for many new Canadians. And we have people from a wide range of backgrounds, you know, software engineers to people who are doing trucking. And all of them want to get into farming because they've been connected to farming in some way or the other. Either they grew up on a farm or they themselves farmed. We do also get inquiries from agriculture graduates, and the first question we ask them is, you know, do you want to become a farmer or do you want a job in agriculture? And that's two entirely different things. So new Canadians are connecting to us a lot, and for your information, the major immigrant streams are now from South Asia and Southeast Asia. And people from these areas are closely connected to food and farming in some fashion or the other. Even if they did not do it, their fathers would have done it or their grandfathers would have done it, and they would have been connected to that way. And a lot of them are actually making the switch for all the right reasons. They know a software engineer knows that he won't make enough money farming. But as Christy said, it's something more meaningful to him. I think that's where they're connecting. The most often repeated word I've heard in my last 4 years at FarmStart is the word calling. And, you know, I'll ask them they'll talk about, you know, I want to change the food system and all that. But I'll ask them, you know, why are you doing this for yourself? And they'll say the word, I think this is a calling for me.
Yes, it's a calling.
And this is something, you know, you cannot quantify into numbers. Yes. Or put it into data and, you know, things like that. But that's across board. That's why they come to us. And for a lot of them, the opportunity never existed till we started the startup farm.
Yes. And finally, we just have a moment here. Christy, if you have one piece of advice for listeners now who are kind of excited by what they've heard on the show and want to consider getting started, what's that piece of advice?
I think that there are lots of opportunities in agriculture, and we haven't been good as a sector bringing in innovation other than in the biotech sector. But I think that people are proving now that we can innovate and we can create viable livelihoods in this sector. The markets are changing, people want to be more connected, and farming can be a really wonderful way to live your life.
Excellent. Great. And thanks for joining us here on Career Buzz, Christy Young and Sri Sethuratnam. Really appreciate it. And farmstart.ca is the site, correct?
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us here on Career Buzz.
Thank you.
Bye.
You've been listening to Career Buzz, Canada's unique radio conversation that empowers lives, enriches careers, and energizes organizations here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm your host, Mark Franklin. You can find out more about me at careercycles.com. Other hosts of Career Buzz are Angela Fitzgerald, Leanne Sachs, and Mark Swartz. If you do have comments or questions about today's show, I'd love to hear from you. Email me. It's Mark with a K, Mark at careercycles.com. Thanks to my guests,